As we prepare for our scripture lesson this morning, we'll be reading from Psalm 118. One of the tricky parts about choosing scripture to read from is figuring out exactly where it begins and where it ends. Even if you're using a schedule like the lectionary, figuring out exactly where the passage begins and ends is a little bit tricky. And so every once in a while, we get it wrong. I think I got it wrong this week. So I had originally told Stephanie we would read verses 1 to 4 and then 21 to 29. And as the week wore on, I realized I missed some stuff. So about 3 minutes before the service, I asked Stephanie to change the slides, and she hustled and got it done. And so we'll be reading verses 1 to 4 and 19 to 29. So thank you, Stephanie, for getting that ready for us. But as we prepare to go to God's word, let's first take a moment to go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of this morning. We thank you for the chance to come to your table. We give you thanks for the excitement of new members in our community. We give you thanks for the opportunity to come to your word. We ask as we turn our attention to scripture now that your spirit would be here with us. We ask that you would move in us and among us and through us. That you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds. That we might come to know who you are and who you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 118, beginning at verse 1. Listen to the word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. And now to verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the blessing of your word. As we turn our attention now to reflect on this word of scripture, we ask that you would be with us in this room or wherever we are. We ask that you would set aside our cares or anxieties of this past week, our anxiousness, our excitement, our nerves about the week to come. We ask that you would let us focus in this moment on your voice. Show us who you are and who you have created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is how the psalmist begins this psalm. The psalmist begins with this invitation, this declaration. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. And then we read through the next 30 verses and we get to the end. And our author decides to write a conclusion and seems to have run out of ideas. And uses the exact same words, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. The introduction and the conclusion are identical, the exact same words. And they work pretty well. I mean, they serve to introduce this psalm, and they serve to give us a conclusion. But they also work not just as an introduction or conclusion. They could also work as a summary of the psalm. I mean, the whole thing, if you boil it down, it really fits in that one sentence. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Our psalmist begins and ends with these words. They summarize the entire psalm. It's almost as if our psalmist really wants us to hear this sentence. It's as if our psalmist wants us to grab on to these words and to remember them and to understand them, to take them into our lives. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And so let's rise to the challenge. If our psalmist really wants us to focus on these words, let's do it. Let's look closely at this sentence. Let's see what these words mean. It really breaks down into two easy pieces. There's an invitation, and there's a proclamation, an affirmation of faith, a declaration of what the psalmist believes. And that proclamation, it's the more obvious one. So let's start there. Let's look at the proclamation in this sentence. The Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. As I said, that's a great summary of the entire psalm, but it's not unique to this psalm. In fact, those exact words, they appear not just here in this psalm, but they appear throughout the Old Testament. And if you wanted to go home and sit down and read every word of the Old Testament and take out a pen and try to keep count of every time you see not a phrase like this, but these exact words, you would be shocked at how often, especially that last part, his steadfast love endures forever. That exact phrase, it occurs in the Old Testament more than 40 times. We see it over and over and over again as the writers of this incredible account of God's work in humanity, they keep turning to those exact words, his steadfast love endures forever. We see it in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, whenever the people are bringing forth a new leader or when they dedicate the temple. We see it in Ezra, when the people return home to the temple. We see it in Jeremiah, looking ahead to what God's about to do. We see it in Psalm 100. We see it in Psalm 106. We see it in Psalm 107. We see it in Psalm 118. And we see it in Psalm 136. We see this phrase a lot in Psalm 136. In fact, this exact phrase, his steadfast love endures forever, it occurs in Psalm 136 not once, not twice. It occurs in Psalm 36. Oh, I'm not going to tell you. You got to go home and do that. That's the homework part. In fact, do that this afternoon. It'll take you 5 minutes at home. Look up Psalm 136 and try to count how many times in Psalm 136 you see the phrase, his steadfast love endures forever. And don't plan to count on your fingers. You don't have enough. It's going to take you some work. Read Psalm 136 and see how often you find the phrase, his steadfast love endures forever. It occurs in book after book, in psalm after psalm, in chapter after chapter of the Old Testament, because this phrase, his steadfast love endures forever, it's a summary not just of Psalm 118, but of any book in the Old Testament. You can go through book by book and it works. Think about Genesis. God creates the world, calls it good, chooses to bless Abraham and maintains his faithfulness to Jacob and to Joseph through hardship and even in prison because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Look at Exodus. The people cry out to God from slavery and God speaks through Moses and sings through Miriam and brings them through the Red Sea because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Look at Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy when God leads the people through the wilderness and provides for them and protects them because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Look at Joshua when God brings the people into a new home or the judges when God leads people to power to protect the people from persecution because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Look at what happens in Ruth when God's love expands even beyond the boundaries of Israel because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Look at the books of Samuel or Kings or Chronicles when God raises up prophets and kings to lead the people and to bring them to greater faithfulness because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. We see this throughout the Psalms. We see this in the prophets as they look ahead to the Messiah who will come and set the people free because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. We even see this in the minor prophets. Think about Jonah, who went to find a place where he was hoping he would not find God's love. Jonah hoped to find a place beyond the reaches of God's love, and what he found was that the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever even when we don't want it to. This is a summary of every single book in the Old Testament. It's a summary of the Old Testament as a whole. And you can play this game in the New Testament too. It's almost easier. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, stories about the birth of Christ, his ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection, because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever, even beyond the grave. Or we find the epistles as the leaders of the church write letters to proclaim their faith and to proclaim forgiveness of sins and freedom. We find these epistles that tell us the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Or even in that great and mysterious book, the Revelation to John, that shows us what happens at the end of time with these wonderful images and shows us an image of worship. People gathered together at the end of days because the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Our psalmist begins and ends with these exact same words because they are so important. They summarize not just the psalm, but the entire Old Testament, the entire New Testament, the entire testimony of the Bible. Our faith in this sentence, the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. This is what we see in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Our psalmist begins and ends with these words. He wants these words burned into our memories. He wants us to carry these words with us through our lives. But it's not just a declaration. I mean, it's that simple creed that the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Those two articles of this statement of faith, just like the affirmation of faith we used earlier. But there's more to it than that. If you remember, we said that there were two parts to the sentence. There's the declaration, there's the proclamation, there's the affirmation of faith, but there's also an invitation. In fact, the psalm doesn't begin with that proclamation. The psalm begins with the invitation. The psalm begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever." The psalmist begins, "Give thanks." The psalmist begins by calling us to respond to this truth, calling us to respond to this identity of God, calling us to respond to God's love that endures forever. The psalmist invites us to give thanks. Now, giving thanks is, on the one hand, it's very simple. This is something we try to teach our children to do, to be thankful, to be polite. But on the other hand, think about how abstract it is to be thankful. That's a tricky word. There are no concrete steps to being thankful, which is why it's so helpful to read this psalm, and not just the portions we read today, but if you were to go back and read the whole psalm, you would see there's a movement, there's an action in this psalm. And I think a lot of it hangs on grammar. I'm sorry, I didn't pick it, but it's grammar. And I know that deep down inside you may be having flashbacks to seventh grade English class, but trust me, it's not hard grammar. It's grammar you'll understand even if you don't speak Hebrew. Very simple movements in grammar in this psalm. Our psalmist begins, before we get to the grammar, our psalmist begins explaining a recent experience of difficulty, of danger, of darkness. And we don't know who the psalmist was. It may have been David. Some have wondered if it's David. Some have wondered if it was a king. Some have wondered if it was a soldier. Some have wondered if it was just a faithful person in Israel. But our psalmist begins not with joy, not with praise, but with an acknowledgement of darkness and danger and difficulty. Because it's real. And we don't get through life without scars, without tears. The darkness is real, the danger is real, the difficulty is real, but our psalmist shares this story not to tell us about the darkness or the danger or the difficulty, but to tell us that through it all, God was there. God was there through the darkness. God was there in the danger. God was there alongside the difficulty. God was there in the hardest moments of life. And when our psalmist comes through, teary-eyed and scarred, our psalmist is able to look back and say, God is good. and his steadfast love endures forever, even in the hard moments of life. And so then our psalmist turns and does the only thing our psalmist can do, heads towards the gates and cries out, "Open the gates for me that I may come in." And here's where the grammar comes in. Open the gates that I may come in. And then the passage continues. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is how our psalmist gives thanks, by moving from I to us, from me to we. The way to give thanks is to join our voices together, to join our songs together, to join our prayers together. This is why we come together as a church. This is why we have worship online, so that when you are on vacation or stuck home sick, you can worship here. And when you're in town and feeling well, that's why we rush to this building, so that we can come together and turn that I into us, so that we can join our songs. Our songs are so much louder when we sing them together, so that we can join our praise. Our praise is so much louder when we praise together. We can join our prayers. Our prayers are so much stronger when we pray together. We can join our dollars. Our dollars go farther when we share them together, so that we can join together as a church. We can enter into those gates, and we can come together and let all of creation, let the whole earth hear of the great things that God has done. We give thanks by coming together. That's who we are. That's why we exist. It's actually our mission statement. Our church exists so that we can make a grateful response. Our church exists so that we can faithfully live and faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in grateful response to God's love. Grateful response to God's love. In other words, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. This is how we give thanks. We join our songs. We join our dollars. We join our bodies. We join our prayers. We join our praise. We come together and give thanks. That's why we have a music program, to give thanks. That's why we have education programs, to give thanks. That's why we buy blankets, to give thanks. That's why we serve meals, to give thanks. That's why we come together in this place in worship, to give thanks. It's why we come to this table to give thanks, because God is good and his steadfast love endures forever. This is who we are, and this is what we do, and this is what our psalmist wants us to hear. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. God loves us no matter what, so give thanks. Open the life gate that all may come in and sing praise the Lord, that the earth might hear his voice. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.